Hey, Russell Evans here. We're so excited that you've joined us today at Planet Shakers Church. We trust this message will impact and change your life.
I want to speak to you this morning on the topic, plan to succeed. Three of you like that. Plan to succeed. 2019, you need to plan to succeed. Success just does not fall out of the sky. It comes by a plan. Habakkuk 2. By the way, we're planning to succeed. So on February the 3rd, we're starting 21 days of prayer and fasting. Why? Because we're planning to succeed. We're going to pray the things that we're believing for through prayer and fasting. We'll be introducing our Wednesday early morning prayer meeting very soon. Why? Because we're planning to succeed. We will have outreaches and Planet Uni O Weeks and stuff. Why? Because we're planning to succeed. Habakkuk 2 says in verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Each one of you need to get a vision for this year. And make it plain. Make it plain that he may run who reads it. In other words, your vision is so understandable that people hear it will run with it. Proverbs 29:18 from the New International Version says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who hears wisdom and instruction. So revelation is vision. It's what God gives you for your life. So if you come into 2019 and have no vision for this year or revelation for this year, guess what will happen? Anything can happen. And guess what will happen? Generally, what happened the year before that you had no vision? You know, Jesus, for 3.5 years, was teaching, he was preparing his disciples for success. For 3.5 years, he was telling them what the kingdom of God was like. He sent them out 2 by 2. Why? To experience what he wanted them to do on earth when he left. For 3.5 years, Jesus was getting them ready to walk in the vision of the kingdom. He was preparing them to bring heaven to earth when he left. And Jesus is our model of vision. And so I want to talk to you really briefly today on what it means to plan for success. Number one, renew your vision or get a vision. You know, our vision at Planet Shakers has never changed. Empowering generations to win generations. Our whole plan and our whole prayer and our whole desire is that you encounter Jesus, and out of that encounter, you get empowered and then you change your world. What happens is God adds layers on it and just broadens it and strengthens it, but he never really changes the vision you have for your life. He just builds on what he sowed in your life. An apple tree does not become an orange. Why? Because the seed that was sown is the vision for what that tree will become. And God wants you to understand he has a vision for your life. He has a plan for your life. And he wants you to understand today that that plan comes through knowing him and revelation from him. So in 2019, my question is, do you have a family vision? Do you have a vision for your family this year? I have 2 children and I have a vision for them. My daughter probably has a faster vision than I have. She might want to get married quicker than I want her to. Vision for your life. Do you plan for your children? Do you pray for God to bless them? Do you pray for God to give you revelation for their life this year? Do you have a plan for your wife? Do you have a plan for your husband? Yeah, the wives go, I have a plan for my husband. And the men says, and I have a plan for you. And God says, I have one for both of you. Come into agreement and I'll bless you. Do you have a vision for your finances? Do you have a vision? Do you plan? You know, every year I ask the Lord, God, what do you want me to give for your kingdom this year? In tithing and offerings. What do you want me to give? I just don't go, well, 10% of my wages, that's what I... No, I ask the Lord what I am to give. Why? Because I'm getting revelation for the vision he wants to release through my life. Get a vision for your finances. Where do you want to see? Plan for your finances. Get a vision for your health. Get a spiritual vision, most important. Get a spiritual vision. See, if you have a spiritual vision, you understand what is connected to that vision to see that come to pass. In other words, the Bible says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. So if you have a vision to be planted, guess what happens? You will flourish. It's a spiritual vision. Same with your health. I have a vision to lose weight. I've lost 11 kilos so far, and I'm halfway there. Why? Because I want my health to be better. Get a vision for it. I'm wearing clothes that I've never worn for many years. I bought these a year ago and I tried them on. I don't usually try clothes on at the shop because I don't want to be disappointed. I take it by faith. Then I come home and put it on and go, no, that doesn't work. That goes in the one day, very soon drawer. But I'm wearing them. Why? Because in January, see, vision, my cousin, who was a little big like me, I saw a picture of him and he had lost 20 kilos. And I'm like, he looks awesome. And he's older than me. That's worse. So as I saw a vision of what I could be, it motivated me to be somebody that I could be in my health. Get a vision. So I was at a wedding last night and all this great food was coming out and bread rolls were coming out and all this, you know, there was ice cream coming out. And because I got a vision, because I had a vision, I said no. No one had compassion around. They were like, Jimmy was there in front of me. I actually went, all the chips went on the table, right? There's these amazing chips. They look fantastic. And you know, there were people hungry, so they ate them before Jimmy could. He was waiting for his special meal because he can't eat nuts, because if he eats nuts, he goes nuts. And so he's there and he had no chips. I said, Jimmy, I'll go help you. So I went up to the bridal table. And I said, do you need these chips anymore? You all look skinny anyway. And so I came and gave them, and he ate. But they were eating before me. What restrained me was my vision. My vision got me to say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. Now, you never know how that vision is at the end of next year. So firstly, the thing with your vision is create. Creativity comes through vision. I've got all these C words to be connected to these points. Create. Come before God and He gives you creative ideas, creative concepts, creative dreams. That's what God wants to do. Second thing you need to do when you plan to succeed is write it down. Write down what you want to do in your year this year. What do you want to achieve? What do you want to see God do? And even put numbers to it. You say numbers. Is God into numbers? Yes, He wrote a book called Numbers. Because numbers is people. So put some numbers to it. Say, I'm believing for this to come in my finances this year. I'm believing for this amount of children. Some of you are going, huh? Or some of you might have quads or triplets or twins. Or get a vision. Don't let disappointment get in your vision. So write it down. So in other words, make it clear. You have no clear vision, you have no clear direction. Third thing, get rid of the weight that slows you down in your vision. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, a champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting for Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. What kept Jesus at the cross? What took Him to the cross was a vision for you and for me. The joy of us coming into relationship with Him and His Father was the vision that kept Him going to the cross. It says this, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. So at the beginning of this year, throw off weights. In other words, change. Change your thinking, change your living. Change. What type of weights are you talking about? There might be toxic relationships that you're in and the people are pulling you down. And this isn't a permission to get divorced. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about outside relationships that are pulling you down. They're toxic and they're not good for you. Well, take them off. If it's not good for you, don't let guilt keep you in a relationship that abuses you. Get rid of that weight. You can forgive them and love them, but that doesn't mean you can be weighed down by them. Get rid of that weight. Whoa. Some of us get so dragged down by relationships that we want to do something, but we can never do it because we're held back. You're really quiet here today. Unforgiveness weights. Get rid of unforgiveness weights. There's nothing worse than living in unforgiveness. Bitterness is a weight. God can help us with our bitterness. We are really quiet this morning. Come into the new year with no weights of bitterness. Oh yeah, but you don't know what he did to me, and you don't know what she did to me, and you don't know what they did to me, and you don't know what that, and you don't know. You know, we live in a world that's got a disease. It's called blamatitis. It blames everyone else. But the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So we have no excuse to live in limitation. Why? Because he's done it for you. We've just got to receive it and let go of that stuff. And that doesn't mean it's not easy. It's easy to do. I've been hurt by people. People have let me down. They continue to let me down. People are people. I probably let them down too. I need to forgive myself, and I also need to forgive people. Let go of that weight of bitterness. If you're going to plan to succeed, you can't run with bitterness, because bitterness stops you from hearing. Unforgiveness stops you from receiving. But if you get rid of it, the pathway is amazing. Yeah. Selfish weights. Get rid of selfish weights. You know, sometimes things that we desire that are selfish actually weigh us down. The next thing, number four, we're going okay here. Remove the things that are obstructing your vision. So, by the way, the C for there was change. Remove the things that are obstructing your vision. This, the C word here is clean. Clean your vision. You know, I wear glasses from time to time and I wear sunglasses as well, and there's nothing worse. And my iPhone sometimes, because my head is just very clean. And so there'll be times that my glasses have not been cleaned, so I can't see properly. Clean your vision up. Get the stuff out of your vision that is getting your attention. Get the stuff out of your vision that is obstructing the way to go. God wants to show you the way to go, and he wants to give you clean eyes. How do you have clean eyes? You have a clean heart. The Bible says the pure in heart shall see God. So our cleanly heart given by Jesus, our clean heart given by Jesus, enables us to have clear vision. That's why David, when he messed up, prayed this prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So every time you mess up, every time you do the wrong thing, instead of letting that muck get in your heart, come to God and say, oh God, create in me a clean heart. I give this to you. Let the Spirit of God come and cleanse my vision. Let the Spirit of God come and cleanse my heart. Let the Spirit of God come and clean me on the inside out. Get rid of the things You know, sometimes I'm believing for something and it doesn't happen. So you know what happens? A little bit of disappointment comes into my vision. Sometimes I ask God to do something and he didn't do it the way I wanted to, and guess what? Another bit of thing gets in my vision. And then over a period of time, I'm unaware that over a year, if I don't constantly say, God, clean my heart, give me right motives, give me right attitudes, let me have the mind of Christ, give me the right thing, my vision becomes blurred and dull. And so many people don't succeed because they allow little dots, a little bit of mud, a little bit of dirt, a little bit of disappointment, a little bit of discouragement, a little bit of pain, a little bit of hurt, a little bit of unbelief and doubt. Get in your vision, and what happens is you stop running like you used to. Plan to succeed in 2019. So clean. Number five. I'm giving you a lot of points. I've become like a teacher. I got more points than a porcupine. It's a very poor joke, but some nice people laughed at it. Thank you. Thank you for laughing at that dad joke. It's an amazing joke. Number five, plan for times of strengthening, healing, and refreshing. In your year, plan times for strengthening, for healing, and refreshing. You see, why do Planet Shakers, why do we put on conferences?
So we can get big crowds and go, yay, what's up?
No. What are they? They are places to celebrate. There's the C word. To celebrate. So get in places where you get strengthened and healed and refreshed to celebrate. Another C word is conference. In other words, plan to put your personhood in a place that you know a breakthrough's coming, refreshing's coming, healing's coming. You see, if you don't plan to succeed, you won't succeed. So why we put conferences, a beautiful woman's coming up this year. It's changed, isn't it, to beautiful. Beautiful's coming up this year. Planet Shakers conference in April. You know, if I wasn't the pastor of this church, I would still be in every session. Why? Because I know what happens in those sessions. I'm getting my life ready to be blessed, to be encouraged, to be filled. You see, over a four-day period, what happens is meeting builds a meeting upon meeting upon meeting upon meeting upon meeting upon meeting. It's a planning to celebrate, to be refreshed, to be strengthened, to be renewed, to be comforted, to go to a whole nother level. And if you don't plan for it, you won't live for it. Plan those things in your life. Plan to succeed. That's why in your Sunday calendar, there also always should be a plan. The house of God. Statistics now say the average person comes to church once every 3 weeks. Our statistics are a little better than that. But the truth is, if everybody turned up to church every week and bought everybody they knew, we would win a city. We would see a city transformed, a nation transformed. Plan to succeed. Plan. When you get up in the morning, look for people to witness to. Plan to succeed. You see, when you plan for times of strengthening, healing, and refreshing, which I call plans of places of celebration, God moves in a way like you can't just have in a moment. Because what happens is a moment is powerful, but moments are more powerful. Number six. You ready for number six? You're getting this down? Ready? Number one, remember, was. Can anyone remember? Because I can't. Renew or get a vision for 2019, which the C word for that is what? It's what?
Create.
Second one, what is it? Write it down. What is it, the C word for that? Third one? Get rid of the weights that slow you down. That's called change. Number four. Remove the things obstructing your vision. That's called
clean.
Number five. That's called touch your neighbor and say, it's time to celebrate. Turn your other neighbor and say, have you registered for conference yet? Number six, get with people who will challenge you and encourage your vision. Don't just have friends that go, oh, you're amazing, but never challenge you. What's that called? Coach. You need a coach. We have the coaches, they're called Urban Life coaches. You need people around them that will challenge you and encourage you to keep going in the vision you've got for the year. You need people to say, come on, you need to fix that up a little bit. It's a little wonky. You need to make that a little stronger. And so they coach you, they help you. One of the greatest coaches I know is my wife. She coaches me all the time. No, but she's amazing. I see her sit down and with people and she says, you know, you need to do this. It must be the teacher in her. And I'm like, I don't tell anyone to do anything. I just say, follow me. But she's like, she'll coach them and make them better. You know, in this amazing transformation I'm going through, my cousin's wife is my coach, which is sort of strange. And I'll send in my weight every day. And she'll go, keep going, that's amazing. If I've done poorly, she'll go, oh, well, try again. If I've done poorly in 2 days, she says, you need to stick to it. Coaching. We need people to help us become better. If you don't like to be told anything, you'll never go anywhere. Let somebody be a coach. Let them be spiritual coaches. You know, in life, we need people who encourage us and strengthen us. Really, I stand here today because I've had spiritual people in my life who've encouraged me through my life. They've coached me. They've helped me become better. They've helped me become greater than ever. You know, I look at Joth here today, leading worship and praise. How amazing is he? And he's always been talented, but he wasn't always the greatest praise leader or worship leader. He was talented, but he was never great. What made him greater was he got coached how to engage. I remember the first time we went to America, no one understood him because he speaks so fast. And we had to coach him. Slow down. Pastor Neil, I had to coach him at times because he holds a mic down here and you can't hear him. Or he used to do rude signs with his hands and he didn't realize it. He would preach like that all the time. I said, Neil, you can't do that. That's wrong. He goes, no, it's the way I hold. I said, no. Coaching, so no one's getting offended with how he's holding the mic anymore. Scott, I had to coach him. Had to coach him and discipline him and minister to him. But you need people to make you, help you be accountable. Get with people who encourage you, encourage your vision. And here's the thing, by the way, have one wellspring that you drink out of. Let that be your main wellspring. You know, all the other things is like dessert. They're just toppings. But because what happens is if you confuse your diet, you get confused in your vision. Just a little thought. So television evangelists should never be your wellspring. They should just be the chocolate topping. Your wellspring should be your local church that feeds you and nourishes you and builds you and encourages you, because no tele-evangelist knows you. They might ask you for money, but they don't know you. They might have your email address because you got sucked into one of their things one day. Not sucked in, that's probably not the right word. You got encouraged. If you sow this, you'll get a $3 billion mansion. I don't know. If somebody ever promises you that, say no. Unless God tells you. Oh, we're going real quiet here. I'm your pastor. I care for you. I care for you. I'm watch. Who feeds you is very important, because it determines the life you live. Amen? Amen. I think I'm going to stop there, because I've got another 4 points for next week. They're really good too. They're actually better than this week. This is just like the foundation. Next week's the topping. So if you're not here, I hope God ministers to you lovingly. Some of you, God's speaking to you about Bible college. And you've looked at all the things, you go, I don't know how. If you've got a vision, you'll make it work. Some of you, God is speaking to you about your health. He's speaking to me all the time about that. Some, God's speaking about your spiritual life, your involvement. See, people, I used to be involved, but I'm having a gap year. Imagine if God had a gap year from you. I'm going to have a gap year from them. But you don't have a gap year from your sport. You don't have a gap year from your hobbies, but you have a gap year from God's house. And God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It doesn't say,
it's a gap year
from church. There's never a gap year from church. Never. Because it's the source of community that God established as the foundation to build our lives. Yes, but I've been hurt in church. Yeah, you've been hurt at work and you're still working. Oh, I've been hurt in church. Yeah, you've hurt on the sports field, but you go through the rehabilitation, you get the knee right to play again. Oh, I got hurt in relationships. Welcome to the world. I've told this before, but you think about a baby. They come out of, they're created out of enjoyment, and then they sit in their mother's womb. Yeah. And they're in their mother's womb, and they're in their nice little apartment. They do nothing. They just roll over every now and then and kick. But they got a supply, food. They got protection. They got warmth. They don't even have to go to the bathroom. Do nothing. Then one day, the pressure comes. And all of a sudden, they're going to a great white light. And there's a weird looking dude over there in the... He's saying, come to me. And you're hearing this lady that you've lived with for 9 months, and she's screaming, you did this to me. And they come out and they push you out, and the very first thing is they cut off your supply, and then they slap you. So you've gone from warmth and protection into pain and been cut off. And you've been brought, then you get be brought into warmth and protection. But the very first experience a child ever has is pain. Very first. Guess what? Pain's a part of life. And how you deal with it determines where you go. It's true. It's true. Over the years in ministry, we've had people on our team that hurt me. They hurt me. So what did I do? Build a wall? No, I'm not in America. That just came to me. Shut down the government? No, I'm only joking. Just joking. I built a wall of protection. I'm not going to believe in young people anymore, anyone. Just you and me, Sam and Amy and Jonathan, and I'm Even concerned about you three. You build a wall. And then you stop believing in people. And you are a one-man show. No, that's not God's way. God will give it to you. I'm going to believe in that Andy guy. He might have short legs and he's from Tasmania, but I believe in him. I believe in that person who's been through ministry for many years. I believe in Pastor Warren. I believe, and belief keeps you going forward. Unbelief gets you sidetracked or stalled. So today, plan to succeed. So this is what we're going to do. If any of those things I mentioned, there's some blur in your vision, you don't have a vision, you need to renew your vision. Mr. Keyboard, please play. I need some help here. I thought like some alien was going to come out. I enjoy myself. Even if you don't enjoy me, I enjoy myself. I feel good. By the way, this is truth. I'm on a journey of making my health better. But you know what happens? When you're not happy with something, you don't want to look at it. So I wouldn't look at my body in the mirror, I'd just look at my head. Why? Because I didn't want to see what I needed to deal with. But unless I took responsibility, I would never dealt with the issue that was before me. So really, I'm just encouraging you to succeed, because that's the plan God has for you. The plans God has for you are for a good hope and a good future. Succeed. So you say, hey, I got to renew my vision. I got to get a vision. I got to get rid of the weight that hinders me. I got to clear my vision out. I've got stuff in there. I got to make a choice to let people speak into my life. That's risky, you know. But it's important. We're so blessed that you joined us today. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you at church@planetshakers.com, on an email or on any social media platform. Connect with us, and we want to pray for you and believing the best for you. And we'll see you next week. Don't miss out. God bless you.